This podcast is sponsored by Stoney's Siren Sister. For more information, telephone 01285 642 006 or visit www.stoneys.co.
Ahoy hoy, I'm Pavo.
And I'm Neil.
And welcome to That's No Moon.
It's a podcast.
It's your weekly digest of all the Star Wars news that is or maybe isn't going on at this moment. And there's not much going on at the moment.
No, it's quite quiet. There's a few little nuggets, but nothing...
Nothing that we haven't already covered about. When it comes... Yeah.
So they're just reiterating the stories we've already done.
We had a little bit of a Star Wars moment over the weekend, though, didn't we?
Yeah, we had a couple of moments.
Yeah, we hosted the Q&A stage at our local Comic-Con, the Swindon Comic-Con, the second year running. And on each day, on the Saturday and the Sunday, we had a Star Wars panel.
We did. And the first day, I think they were all from the original trilogy, weren't they?
Yes, they were.
And then the second one, that, which was quite nice, there was one from each of the trilogies, will be the trilogies. So from the original trilogy, the prequels, and then from The Force Awakens. So that was really nice.
Yeah. Now, we spoke to Michael Culver, who was Lieutenant.
Remind me, because I can't remember.
Oh, my God. His name's gone out of my head.
Isn't it horrible? This is a sign of age. It's because he's been force choked all weekend.
He was the first Imperial officer to be choked by Darth Vader. Captain Nida, yeah, which then Admiral Piette then took over, and it was like, apology accepted, Captain Nida.
Yeah.
So it was really nice to talk to him. It was really interesting to find out the fact that He walked onto the set of Empire Strikes Back, got the job without even knowing what Star Wars was.
Exactly.
He was completely oblivious to the whole worldwide phenomenon that was Star Wars from the original movie.
Well, it was interesting. So, yeah, we spoke to him, didn't we? And then there was Chris Bunn, who they designed the Stormtrooper costume on. And that was quite interesting. Yeah. It was interesting, wasn't it?
It was interesting.
I mean, to find out what, when they were on set, that they really didn't have any idea, and it was just another job, and they had no. It sounds a bit flippant to say it now and everything, but they genuinely had no idea that it was going to become their living.
No, exactly.
30 years later.
Exactly. And to be fair, Michael Culver seemed a little bit like, well, we'd been told beforehand that he didn't want to do the panel. But he seemed to warm to it as we carried on, which was quite nice, and seemed a very nice gentleman to speak to. I mean, we had two panels last year at the convention where we met Pam Rose and Jack Claff, who was a fantastic...
Oh, he was brilliant.
Fantastic person to speak to. If you've got a mind of what an old, very English... actor would sound like and be like, that's what Jack Claff was. But
he didn't really need to question him.
No,
he was a raconteur, indeed he was. So he was good fun.
Yeah, and then we got to speak to Clem So, or you finally, got to speak yeah, to Clem finally. So on the second day. We had a few technical issues, so Neil did that panel by himself. And Clem is one of these guys that you will probably not know his name, but you'll notice him popping up in the background of a lot of major films.
Well, recently he's Doctor Strange, Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, I mean, he was in The Force Awakens, stood in the scene where they're trying to work out how they're going to attack the Starkiller base. He's basically right next to John Boyega, I think.
Yeah. He's got a very recognisable face.
Very recognisable.
And an almighty hand grip.
Has he?
When I shook his hand on the Saturday, because he recognised us, I said, hey.
Oh, of course, yeah.
He shook my hand and then he crushed my fingers.
Yeah, but he's a lovely guy.
Yeah, he was lovely. And then we had Andrew Loudon, who was Qui-Gon Jinn's stand-in.
That's right.
That almost rhymes, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And he was very fascinating, actually, what he had to do and that. So, yeah, great days, great days.
Yeah, we had fun. So what we were going to do, we have just literally finished recording as guest hosts to a podcast called Less Than 12 Parsecs. And Tim, who does that podcast, has very kindly sent us a load of questions for the Yoda questions section of our show. So we thought we'd ask a few of his questions just for this show as
absolutely,
a little special thing.
Yeah,
so,
bit of fun.
A little bit of fun. So the first question that Tim had for us is, what's the secret to having an awesome Star Wars shed? He says, sadly, shed culture isn't a thing here in the States.
So now, like we've got here, this is our studio / shed. So
indeed.
It's Star Wars. So what's the secret to having us? Just, you need a room. And the idea is that a shed is an outbuilding, but an outbuilding is a toilet, isn't it? But an outside building that is waterproof and everything. And you can then, you can then store all your Star Wars memorabilia and collection, which is obviously still growing at all times. Like Pav does here. This is our studio, and a lot of this is his memorabilia. Some of it I did donate. I donated a Star Wars tin, there it is behind us, you can't see it, but the Star Wars New Hope, that tin print.
That's right, indeed.
So, and things like that, and there's birthday presents and all sorts.
Well, we've been in the shed, we like to call it, how long now?
Well, it'd be our fifth year.
So this, when we started off doing the podcast and everything, so it's 5 years of what other people may call crap that has just been amalgamating on the walls and on shelves. And it's the way I look at it is there are some people that have very expensive collections that they like to show, and they will have in lovely little cabinets and stuff. But what we have here, they are just little, they're not worth anything. They're little knickknacks that we think give the shed a character.
Yet.
Yeah, but they give the shed a character, and when we have guests come in, it's that little thing of, oh my God, look at this place. And you can tell when we're interviewing people that they are their eyes are constantly darting around, because they can see, you know, we've literally got every single piece of space cluttered with, so, and it's 99% Star Wars. There are other little bits here, there and everywhere. The secret to having it is just finding anything and putting it up.
Yeah.
Isn't it? And it's growing it. You can't.
Yeah, you can all, you, every, I mean, if you're into Star Wars, you will have collected something.
Yeah.
And it's making that space to put that collection out. So whether, it doesn't necessarily have to be a shed, whether you've got a spare room, whether you've got anything, just make a little display of it. That's all you need to do. And just show it off. Even if it's only to yourself, just show it off.
Indeed. Indeed, and everyone else has got different things that they're interested in. My wife likes Game of Thrones, so she collects Game of Thrones pop figures and, you know, little figures and things like that. And you're constantly seeing little bits and pieces that added to her shelves that
you knew
there.
Nothing
about. They weren't there the day before.
Who bought that?
Exactly, but it's what you're passionate about, and it's been nice that I've got a little cave that is mine, but it's our base of operations.
Yeah, it's our shed. It's our studio. I meant to say sorry. No, it's lovely.
It is our shed. It is lovely. But you know, we'll still find space. We've got two more metal posters to try and find space to put them. God knows where they're going to go. Really can't see. Anyway, we'll move on to the next question. Was having Jakku be a desert planet like Tatooine a mistake? And the follow-up question, should they have used Tatooine instead?
Was it a mistake? No, I don't think so. I mean, it broadened the universe a little bit. I know it's very similar to what Tatooine was, but was it a mistake? I don't see. And should they have used Tatooine instead? If they'd have used Tatooine, the people that said that The Force Awakens was just a carbon copy of A New Hope would have given them more ammunition, wouldn't it, if you think about it?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing is, if it had been Tatooine, it's more one of these things that is pushed as a criticism of Star Wars, is that it's such an expansive universe, but they tend to make everything very small.
Yeah.
Everybody is related to everybody, and the planets are all used. Although you have to say that the planets are all used once, I think it's only Tatooine that they've ever gone back to.
Yeah. And if you think about it, how many planets you see in Revenge of the Sith as well?
Yeah.
I know you don't really spend much time there, but you get to know them, if you know what I mean. You get to know what they are and things. So
what I would like to see in the future is a planet that has different ecosystems on it.
Yeah, not so just all the same. Instead of having
a snow planet and a desert planet and a forest planet,
it's like
finding something that's a little desert, bit more half Earth. Snow. Yeah, something that's a little bit more like Earth. Yeah. So you have mountains that have...
But they might well do that with the Last Jedi. I mean, you know, the island that they find Luke on, or the planet they find Luke on, that could well be it, because they haven't really said, oh, he's on that lush green grass... with Rocky Island.
And to be fair, the Starkiller Base had... I don't know, not Starkiller Base. That was Starkiller Base.
Completely.
I was thinking that there was snow on Starkiller Base.
There was, in the forest.
There was. But the forest wasn't Starkiller Base, was it? That was where Maz Kanata's castle was. That was a different planet.
But they were in a forest at the end, weren't they? When they fought.
Well, they were, but there was still snow there, wasn't there? Yeah.
They didn't just say, well, the snow planet and the,
no.
You know, the lava planet or whatever, like they did in all the others, sort of imply it. But yeah. No, I don't think it was a mistake at all.
One more, which is a bit more of a fun one. We'll do this one. Disney paid George Lucas $4 billion for Lucasfilm. What would you do with $4 billion?
What, in regards to making a Star Wars?
No, just someone with gave you $4 billion. What would
I'd pay off my debts.
Okay, so what would you do with the other 100 grand?
Hey! what would I do? I have no idea where to even begin with. I would obviously employ a lot of people. I'd want to make something so I could employ people. God knows, I'd probably die if I got...
You wouldn't, run for office?
No,
for
Prime Minister, no.
You'd have all that money behind you.
Oh, God, no.
I would probably buy the football club, the soccer club that I support.
What, Liverpool?
Yeah, I would probably buy them and give them, £500 million to, or $1 million, whatever it is, to... buy players that they wanted, so that'd be like my little pet project.
Wouldn't you like to start a football club from scratch?
No.
And do it that way? Just plough, like find a really small football club.
Well, like a local club.
Or Siren, and build a stadium and then just start it up from scratch.
I probably would do that as well. I would probably donate money for something like that. With something like that, because you could spend $3 billion of that.
See, I'd probably
not worry.
To be fair, there's something I've always thought about if I made a lot or had a lot of money would be that I'd love to open a music venue, like a proper...
Yeah, yeah.
A proper hall or even a big hall where you got the big acts in around here. And then a cinema and everything by it and just own all that.
Well, it would be Pancast Towers.
Yeah.
It'd be our own little media... Yeah, you could have
like one of those retail parks, but it's a Pancast park.
Yeah, that's got everything.
Yeah, you go in. If you want to play Pancast bingo, off you go.
Sell our puppets at the Pancast store and stuff like that.
Yeah,
because it's a way of just printing.
And we
money.
Just live above it. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah. In our golden towers. Ivory towers.
Yeah.
There
no,
you
but
go.
You, I just I don't know if you had that sort of money. I really don't know where to start. Genuinely, don't know where to start.
Well, literally nothing would be an obstacle, would it?
No, you could just buy whatever you wanted, do whatever you wanted. So you can't even contemplate it, can you?
No.
Really? But be nice.
It would be nice. Who knows?
Money brings you unhappiness. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't think so. Let me try.
Yeah, it's the kind of unhappy I'd like to be.
Yeah, let me see if it makes me unhappy. Give me a few years, and I'll tell you at the end of those few years.
Yeah, they say that money doesn't bring you happiness, but it sure takes the sting out of being poor.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. Right, well, I mean, that's all we've got. Thank you very much to Tim.
Let me just say, thank you very much to Tim. But if you got an answer, what would you do with $4 million?
Exactly.
I'd really like to know this.
Yeah.
If you're watching this and you think, oh, I did this, I did that, please do comment below, because that would be interesting to see what other people would do with $4 billion and how many people would become dictators. So when you do leave a comment below, remember to press the like button, please.
Yes, and come and subscribe to our channel as well. Just click on Boba Fett's head, which will be just up there
Boba
somewhere.
Fett's head.
Oh, it's not Boba. Oh, Boba Fett's gone. Yeah, it's not. Yeah. Just click up there somewhere on the icon. Come and subscribe, and then you click on the little notification bell, and that'll give you a little notification every time we release a new video. Also, remember to check out Tim's podcast, Less Than 12 Parsecs. We will be guest hosting that on an episode very, very soon. And you can also catch this show on iTunes as a podcast as well. If you don't want to look at our ugly mugs and just want to listen to our lovely voices, you can subscribe to that. So thank you very much.
Yes, thank you very much for watching.
That's episode 36.
Wow.
We're nearly there to 50.
Not far.
Not far. 14 weeks, if I count that right. Yeah. Anyway, so that's it from me. Thanks from Pavo.
No, let's do that again. Just get it. Thanks from Pavo.
Thanks from Pavo.
And thanks from me, Jordan Neil.
May the force be with you all.
Ways. This podcast is sponsored by Stoney's Sour Sister. For more information, telephone 01285 642 006 or visit www.stoneys.co.